Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church, and this is the house that God has provided for us to come and worship and praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. I assume all of you have one of the forms entitled Recommendation for Service as a Deacon. And this is a form that we will use to recommend six persons, men and or women, to serve as deacons for the body of believers for the next three church years. But before you even begin, as I said in my opening remarks, before you even begin to complete the form and then place it in the silver box in the foyer, I want to share with you what I believe the Bible tells us are the qualifications of a deacon and the responsibilities of a deacon here at Ephesus. And it's my hope and prayer that this message will help us recommend or nominate persons to serve in accordance with God's will. Now, I'm not concentrating on these issues of qualifications and responsibilities because I'm dissatisfied with those who are currently serving as deacons here at our church. My purpose is to ensure that we nominate and elect persons that are in accordance with God's teachings and with His will. You know, I have expressed a thought before regarding deacon selection and nomination and election, and I think it's important enough to repeat it again, and I'm sure it's not original with me, but I've said it several times from this pulpit, and that is that deacon election or selection is not a popularity contest. We should not vote for or nominate someone just because he or she speaks well, just because they are personable and likable and amiable, just because they are volunteers and volunteer to serve in any capacity, or just because they are well liked by other believers. Nor should we nominate or elect someone just because they said, "I want to serve as a deacon." Each and every believer is called to be a servant of and for God. We know that. God didn't come to take us out of this world. He came to save us so that we could teach the world about Him, to serve Him, and to minister to others on His behalf. But there are two leadership positions of service mentioned in the Bible that God commanded we elect or select persons to serve in those positions. The first is overseer or shepherd, and that is what we call the pastor. And that is what you called me to be for as long as God wanted me to be here. And the second is that of deacon. And we've talked about this before, that the word deacon comes from a Greek word, diakonos, which means servant, means serving. And God instructed Paul to enumerate the qualifications and purposes of a deacon. And we're going to look at those qualifications and purposes today. And because God's word teaches that it is an important process, we should approach this process of electing deacons seriously and passionately. I think much of our difficulty with the concept of deacons, or the ho-hum attitude towards selecting those to serve as deacons, is because we do not understand what is a deacon and who should serve as a deacon. I would invite you to keep your Bibles open throughout the message. We'll be reviewing three passages of Scripture which answer some of our questions about who, what are the qualifications of a deacon, and who should serve. And may God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word as I proceed this morning. And our first passage comes from Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 through 23. Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 through 23. Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to Him. Teach them the decrees and laws, and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Here we have Moses being counseled by an older man, his father-in-law, Jethro. And right at above where we started our scripture reading, his father-in-law saw all the things that Moses was doing for the people, and he asked, "Why do you sit there and judge for these people from morning until evening?" And then that's where our scripture picked up. Moses said, I have to do that. That's what God commanded me to do. But Jethro counseled Moses to establish a leadership team called and skilled men to assist with the work. He says, "You're going to burn yourself out. You're going to wear yourself out if you don't get yourself some help." So Moses obeyed, and we can imagine the result that his ministry was extended and his peace of mind restored. He handled the difficult problems, and they handled the simple or less difficult ones. I think most of you will agree with this, that we are wired, or many of us, me particularly, are wired to believe that we need no one. I can do it myself. I'd rather do it than try to explain to somebody how to do it. I'd rather do it than have to go behind them and see if they've done it correctly. We believe that if we ask for help, it's a sign of weakness. But let me tell you this, in God's eyes, if we do not ask for help, it is a sign of pride and foolishness and selfishness. Now, fast forward a few thousand years to the early church in Jerusalem shortly after Jesus' death. And turn your Bibles now to Acts chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And this is a probably more familiar verse to you than the Old Testament reference in Exodus. "In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, The Grecian Jews among them complained about the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. The reason and purpose is clear for the existence of deacons. As we said, it comes from a Greek word meaning to serve, and that was their purpose. The purpose of the deacon was to serve. They were to work under the authority of the pastor, forming a ministry team to meet completely the needs of the congregation. And here, the disciples were faced as the same dilemma as Moses. They found themselves not meeting the physical needs of the widows of the of Jewish men, and they were receiving complaints from the Jewish community, and they looked around and they realized they were basically waiting on tables. Which, nothing wrong with that. We need to minister to the physical needs of others when there is a need. But they were not, the disciples were not being able to minister to the spiritual needs of these people. So they called all of the disciples, all of the believers together and said, "Look, we can't minister as the apostles of the Lord. We can't minister to these people's physical needs and meet the spiritual needs. So pick among you 7 men to take over this responsibility so that we can meet the spiritual needs of the people here at the church." God had only called 12 people to be spiritual leaders, so a decision had to be made. Either they would not meet the spiritual needs, or they had to have some help. So they asked these other people to minister to the physical and emotional needs of the people. Nowhere in the scripture is a deacon ever assigned a duty, a responsibility, or a task that does not involve serving. Helping the shepherd, helping the pastor. And when using our form to recommend persons to serve, to be nominees as deacons, I hope today we choose to follow God's will in making those recommendations before July the 13th. Now, some ask, why do we need deacons? We are Baptist. We are autonomous. We can do anything we want to as a church of believers here. It doesn't matter what any of the other 30 churches in the Concord Association do. We can do whatever we want to, and it is a democratic process. We do what we want to based on the majority rule. So why do we need deacons? God knew that one man could not perform all the ministry needs to the believers in the church. Or could
a staff of five ministers if you have a 5,000 member church. God knew that, so he sent, or he gave the word to Paul and to the young church at Jerusalem to get some help, to handle the things that were not necessarily of a spiritual nature. Well, if we need deacons, if I need help here, if whoever is pastoring needs help here at Ephesus, who should serve as the deacon? Who should be on that servant team? Our third passage today gives us some answers to that question. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Deacons likewise ought to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife, and must manage his children and his household well. Verse 8 instructs us that a deacon, one who is to serve as a deacon, needs to be genuine or real. Our text actually states a deacon is to be worthy of respect, sincere, not addicted to alcohol, and honest. Obviously, to possess these characteristics, the man or woman who is to serve as a deacon must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And in a world like ours, we cannot overemphasize the necessity of possessing such a quality, nor can we assume that everyone possesses it. Many leaders are emerging in our churches today across the world whose actions and whose words prompt us to inquire whether they are saved or whether they have a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, being real or genuine does not mean being perfect. It means being down to earth. It means that, as the scriptures state, each one of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. And if we are genuine, if we are real, we will admit our sins. We will confess our sins. And we will ask God to forgive us. Openly confessing, not hiding, not pretending we're something that we are not. This passage also implies that the person elected as a deacon must have no reason or agenda to be a deacon other than serving. I've known churches where persons wanted to get on the deacon board in order to get recognition, to further their own businesses, to network with people in the church, leaders in the church whom they thought may could bring them some business. We don't want someone like that serving, folks. We want someone to serve for the sake of serving, not to have their own agenda. Verse 9 teaches that a deacon must be in sound doctrine, must possess sound doctrine, and must have spiritual integrity. A deacon needs to be a source of strength to the church fellowship. Verse 10 states that a deacon must be tested or be mature. A person should not be elected as a deacon just because a need or a vacancy in that position exists. He or she should be elected because we as a congregation have witnessed them serving well in other leadership capacities. And we found that man or that woman to be blameless, to be of honesty and highest integrity. A person who serves as a deacon should be an active participant in Ephesus Baptist. And we're going to talk about that a little more when we look at responsibilities of a deacon. But he or she needs to attend regularly. How can a deacon serve effectively if they're not here to greet the people, to meet them, to learn of their needs, and to know what's required of them to serve? A deacon should give financial support to God's kingdom and his ministers. All of our assets of God are God's. And yet he requires that we return so little, but so many of us don't even want to do that. When we fail to give, it's a sin because we are not trusting God. We obviously don't believe him when he says if we will give to him, he will return it to us many times over. Obviously, we think, no, that God's not telling us the truth, so we are not going to support him financially. It indicates that a person, although they may be a believer, that they are still very immature in their growth, and maybe they should not be in a position of servant leadership as a deacon. Verse 12 says a deacon must be a family man. A deacon should put his or her family first before other activities, before work, before recreational activities, before civic clubs. Because if a person cannot meet his family's needs, then how can he or she be expected to meet the needs of others here at Ephesus? We could do a sermon on that one sentence that says a deacon should have one spouse. I believe that means at a time. People have asked me about divorce. Does that mean if someone's divorced, should they not serve in deacons? I don't believe that. I believe that it means that at one time you should have one spouse, one wife, or one husband, and care for your family with that spouse above all else except service to the Lord. What are the responsibilities of a deacon? If you look at your sheet right at the very beginning, I've listed what I consider to be responsibilities of someone who serves as a deacon here. Number one, conduct personal and public life as a Christian example and witness. I certainly don't think there's anything controversial about that. I think we would expect a deacon to be someone that people look to and said, that person is a Christian. We can tell by the way they act, by the way they talk. Number two, abide by the Constitution and the bylaws of the church. I think that's important. If for some reason you think they need to be changed, there's nothing wrong with bringing that up at a business meeting. But whatever the bylaws and the Constitution are at the time you're serving, until they're changed, you need to abide by them. A deacon needs to be active and needs to be faithful in the and have faithful participation in the deacon ministry program. We have a family deacon ministry plan that most of our deacons participate in, and I think it's important that a deacon would follow the policy for the deacon ministry plan here. Number four, a deacon should have faithful attendance and participation in the various worship services of the church, business meetings, and deacons' meetings. Now, does someone have to be here every time the doors are open? I don't subscribe to that. I think there are times when you cannot be there because of other commitments to serving God, because of emergencies. It's just a common sense thing. But a deacon, if they're going to only show up once a month, and maybe sometimes that's not even on the day, the Sunday that deacons meet, maybe their heart's not really in being a servant. And maybe at that time, maybe they should not serve. And number five, a deacon should support all the programs of the church with time and money as he or she deems appropriate. A deacon can and should extend to each member of the congregation not only one source of prayer and help, but nine others is also. The deacon body prays. We meet on the first Sunday of each month and we go over the prayer list just like we do in church. We add people and we pray. Each and every one of us prays in that meeting. And I think that's important. A deacon should be an active encourager in such times as we have of no time. A deacon needs to be a friend, one who can offer some respite from the busy life that most of us lead. A deacon should pray regularly and actively for the congregation. He or she should visit. And that's what our deacon ministry plan is designed to do, to assign certain members to deacons and have them visit you in your home and certainly when you're ill and maybe at the hospital, come and pray with you. A deacon has a responsibility to communicate with the congregation. I would say this would include sending cards and notes on special events and important events in a person's life. A deacon needs to keep someone connected to Ephesus even when they cannot regularly attend. Either they're a caregiver for someone that can't leave the home, or they can't leave the home themselves for a given period of time. We need to keep them up to date on what's happening in God's church. A deacon should always be searching for ways to serve, to encourage, to listen, and to meet the needs of the congregation. Those that are expected and those that come up unexpectedly. We've talked about the responsibilities of deacons and the attributes that they need to possess, and I want to just now point out to you the responsibility that we have to deacons. We must pray patiently for them. Each day as we communicate with God, ask Him to direct our paths and to show us clearly what His will is for His church, Ephesus. Pray for those who are serving on the deacon board. Pray for those who are teaching Sunday school. Pray for all of those who are serving here, but remember the deacons in your prayers. So before you complete the recommendation form, I would ask that you review the responsibilities and the qualities of a deacon, and then you will pray to God to reveal His will to you before you turn in your slip. And if you are not a member of this church, or if you have not accepted God's gift that Margie talked about during the children's lesson, God's gift of His Son, as always, we invite you to do that this morning. If you accept God as your Savior, come down. We will pray with you. We'll praise God for the decision you made. If you decide you would like to become a member of this church in one of the ways that we accept applications for membership, please come forward and let me know, and I'll tell you what we need to do from that point forward.